Hello, everybody. It's Mr. Army Wife, and you are listening to Mr. Army Wife and Friends, the podcast where you get to meet all of the incredible men and women that I have met who just happen to be military spouses. And on today's episode, I have three wonderful spouses. So I'm going to introduce you guys in the order that I've met you. And when I do, just please tell me how long you've been a military spouse and kind of some of the places that you've been on your journey as a military spouse. And we're going to start with the male spouse today because I've known him the longest. I think we met in 2013 down at Fort Lee, Virginia, right after he got out of the Army, but his wife remained in the Army and she's still in today. It's Mark Kinder. Hey, Mark, how are you? What's going on?
I'm well, Steve. Thanks for having me tonight. So when you met me, that was actually the second time I was a spouse. So the first time I was a spouse was from 2007 to 2010. And then I actually went back in the Army to OCS in 2010-ish. And then 2013, I got out of the Army the second time. And I've been solely an Army spouse since then. We've been married for 16 years. And I would say six of those were apart. But it's been absolutely wonderful. I enjoy being a spouse and all that comes with it, including the craziness of home life with three kids under six.
Besides Fort Lee, where have some of the places you've been?
So we met at Florida Southern College. From there, we went to Fort Hood. After Fort Hood, where I did my first round as a spouse, we were in Fort Lewis, Washington. And then my wife stayed in Fort Lewis and I went to Fort Benning, Georgia. And then we reunited at Fort Lee, Virginia. And then we came up to the DC area and my wife has been at NSA Bethesda, Fort Meade, and currently at the Pentagon.
Wow. Okay. So world traveler, especially around DC, Northern Virginia, and Maryland,
the past
Fort Meade.
2014. Yeah.
And segueing into Fort Meade, we have somebody that is at Fort Meade right now. I met her at Tijuana Flats in Pooler, Georgia, which is next to Fort Stewart. And we met at Tijuana Flats. It was like my first day in town. Heather wasn't in town yet, but I went with a buddy and we sat outside to eat our tacos and there were these two females sitting there. I could hear them talking about military stuff. So I was like, oh, are you a military spouse? And I met Aaron Wagman. And Aaron, tell them a little bit about yourself. How long have you been a military spouse and where have you been during your journey?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. And everyone loves tacos, right? I mean, where's the best place to find new friends than Tijuana Flats? I've been a military spouse for 4 years now. I met my husband in college at Stetson University. Immediately from graduating college, I went straight to Fort Stewart and I was like, you know, what's a sociology major gonna be doing in Savannah, Georgia? And so I decided to get another degree. So I started my master's program there. And since then, we've been to basically all of Georgia from Fort Benning, Fort Stewart, Fort Gordon, and then we've worked our way up all the way to Fort Meade in Maryland now, and we're hoping to stay here as long as possible. I told my husband I'm not going any further north. I am a Florida girl at heart, and I do not want to have any more winter. Apparently, this is a mild winter that we get here in the DC area. This is furthest north I'm going.
I feel like you just put that out into the Army universe now, and hopefully the Army officials aren't hearing you say
that. Oh, yeah.
They're not listening. Don't worry about it.
If we get Fort Drum, he's going by himself.
I think I may have told Heather the same thing. And finally, rounding us out tonight is a new friend. I've known her for only about a little over a year now. Her name is Chrissy Merva. And the only reason that we met is because my wife and I decided to go out for drinks one night in downtown Savannah. We were sitting at a Mexican restaurant, another Mexican restaurant, having a drink at the bar when all of a sudden this group of girls walked in, including one that was wearing a pink wig. And little did I know that we were sitting among a bachelorette party. It was Chrissy's bachelorette party. We got to talking that night. And then when I moved to Fort Knox, we had a friend in common. And so we've actually kept in touch. And it's really good to have you on the show because you have been a military spouse for a short amount of time, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So thanks for having me. It's good to see you again. Technically, we've been married for about 2 years. This July will be about 2 years. I moved away when he got sent to Fort Leonard Wood. We went ahead and got married. We planned a wedding for the following year because he took command. And that completely changed all of our future plans. But we actually have been together about 6 years total. We did long distance for a long time. We met through mutual friends. And we got married in July of 2018, I think. And then I actually went on my bachelorette party the following spring and I met you. But we went to Savannah because he actually was at Fort Stewart. And when we had done the long distance thing, we had went to Savannah often and I loved it. I'd always said, I know I want to live here. Like, I love this place. And soon after that, we headed up to Fort Leonard Wood. We thought he was just doing career course. I'm from Georgia, so I'm not used to the cold either. I did make the comment of Fort Drum, you're going by yourself as well. So I had to, you know, acclimate to the Midwest winters. But we came back to Fort Stewart. The army gods were on my side. They sent us back to Fort Stewart. And he actually just left for Poland last week. So this is the first deployment. So I'm alone right now, but I'm navigating it.
And if there's anything we can do during this conversation, you just let us know. I want to thank all three of you for being on the show. We are going to have a great time. I've got some questions for you guys to just talk a little bit about your careers or your careers as military spouses. It sounds weird to say careers, but your life as military spouses. And so let's just have an open and honest conversation and just talk about what life is like as military spouses. Aaron, I want to start with you because I know you not only are a military spouse, you work with military spouses, but I want to know, what have you learned about yourself since becoming a military spouse? What have you learned about military spouse life and about yourself specifically?
I think the biggest thing I learned about myself has been my ability to reinvent myself. And I feel like this term gets thrown around a lot in the military spouse community, like, oh, reinvent yourself, find new ways to get creative and adapt to your environment. But I feel like at every duty station, I've had a different career change, but there's been a common thread between all of them that has made it make sense. But when you see it on paper, you're like, what the heck? And so I think the biggest thing I learned was being able to not just have the horse blinders on of looking at one set goal I have for my own career or for my own professional and personal development and going straight for that, but accepting and embracing the different turns along the way and the doors that are closed, going towards the open doors. And if you would have asked me 2 years ago what I would be doing today, I would have had a completely different answer. And so I never expected to be a lobbyist on Capitol Hill advocating for military spouses and military families. But through all the twists and turns thrown at us with the military, I've been grateful because of the military lifestyle to have some of these opportunities open themselves up for me. So I think I've definitely learned to put a positive spin on things rather than saying, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't follow this career path because of the military lifestyle. I've really been able to turn that around, take the horse blinders off and say, well, this is what I've been able to do because of the military lifestyle. And so I think that overall has been a really good thing for me personally and professionally.
Mark, I saw you nodding your head when she was answering that. What do you think you've learned as being a military spouse? And have you learned different things, you know, as a spouse back 2007 timeframe and then now in the 2019-20?
In 2007, I had just gotten out, you know, no children. It was just me and my wife. We were like that for 10 years. And it was great. You know, we did what we wanted. We went places. We did things. And it was all about finishing my education and starting a career. Fast forward, from 2010, 2014, I met Steve. Shortly after that, we found out we were pregnant. And I just re-entered my life as a Army spouse. And it's not about my career necessarily, but it's about honing the skills at my time and opening up what I think I can do or can't do and being able to reinvent myself for something that I'm passionate about. It's all about finding what works for you at that duty station because your job may not transfer with you. So I'm a jack of all trades. I'm pretty happy where I'm at right now. But it's all about right now family and trying to grow these little weeds in a way that they'll be productive later on.
So Chrissy, how about you? What have you learned about yourself in the 2 years since you become a military spouse or the 6 years since you've become a military girlfriend?
I learned how to be alone. I'm from a small town, so I've known the same people my whole life. even when he, you know, we were doing the long distance thing, he, you know, would go for training or he would work the roads and he'd be on swing shifts. So there was a lot of times where I found myself just doing my own thing. When he took command, that really flourished with me was how to be alone, how to take my outlook. And that's what I made it. So like I said, you know, I wasn't a fan of Missouri. I think the first 6 months, that was my fault. After I sort of found myself unhappy with the situation, I've just kind of decided to come out of that rut. And it was just my outlook. I've also learned to reinvent myself. And I think that's a common thing for military spouses. What I'd originally went to school for, it's not very portable. So I really just learned to take my situation and just navigate it corresponding to my spouse, but kind of, you know, make my own way as well.
Yeah, for sure. Erin, we've seen that a lot, haven't we, where spouses will start on one career path and then just take a completely different career path, go back to school, do a lot of that kind of stuff, haven't we?
Yeah, all the time. And I will say, I mean, hearing from Chrissy and Mark, from every story of having to do a transition, part of the whole reinventing yourself is it's a hustle. Military spouses have to hustle and take the initiative. Things aren't just presented to you like, here's your new duty station, your new job and everything else. I feel like a lot of us have been there. You'll get into a rut, like Chrissy said, and really the perspective helps change everything for your lifestyle. And even with career changes, I mean, I've seen so many spouses do it and be successful at it and not just switching careers and starting something new, but working their way up through it and getting to higher levels. And that's what I love seeing is spouses who don't take on the identity as a trailing spouse, but really taking pride in the passion work that they do and in the careers that they have.
Chrissy, is there anything that you wish you would have known before marrying into this wonderful world? Is there anything that we could have told you 2 years ago?
So I really didn't know any military spouses prior to going into this. So I really didn't have an expectation of what it was going to be. I really wish I would have known about the resources that there are for spouses. We have kind of stumbled upon those. I spoke to a guy at one of my husband's graduations for his basic training unit, and he gave me his card. And that was kind of like the first time that I really like realized like, hey, there's someone here that like I can call and can point me in the right direction. As a new spouse for my husband as well, he knew about those things, but not really in the sense of them applying to me. I think in the beginning, I think his mom gave me some archaic book about how to be an officer wife. And I think I read like a chapter and I just thought that is not what I'm going to base this on. But I think like just the different resources, finding them out is the road less taken. You know, you don't just have someone put it in front of you. You kind of figure it out on your own and that's more fulfilling. But I think it would have made things a lot easier with our first move had I known just, you know, what was out there for a spouse.
Yeah, Mark, I think things have changed a lot in that respect from when you and I first got into this whole Army wife world where there are a lot of resources now. And normally, usually we can point new spouses in the right direction. And even some posts have new spouse orientation and things like that. There wasn't a whole lot of that for us, though.
We would go to FRG meetings and they'd be like, okay, ladies, settle down. And I'm like, hi.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure. Was there anything that you wish you would have known? Was there anything you wish they would have told you?
I can't really say any specifics because I think because of my background, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to do what works for me, for us, for our family, but not really anything specific because I wasn't a military spouse until I was a little older. And, you know, life, I mean, it's never figured out, but we had a pretty good handle on it.
Erin, what about you? Was there anything you wish you would have known before getting into this?
The social and cultural nuances of military life. So I had no military experience or no family in the military except a grandfather who was in the military growing up. So my husband was my first introduction to military life. And I'm a curious person. And so I would ask him so many questions. But you really don't understand the social lifestyle of it until you're in it. Like, you can't just talk about it and then be prepared for it. And I feel like at every duty station, it's different too. But I mean, just as a new military spouse, knowing like all the ranks and stuff and like all the different traditions, the different culture, you live and you learn what to wear to a military ball when you're the only person wearing a short dress and you're like awkward, or when to stand, when to sit for things. It almost feels like you're going to a Catholic church mass, like trying to figure out all of the different things you have to do or say in the formal institution of it. But I would say a lot of that you can't really learn beforehand. It's mostly you got to roll with the punches and learn it on the fly.
Chrissy, have you dealt with a lot of social media? Have you gone on the social media sites for Fort Stewart or for Leonard Wood?
So I actually met a really great group of friends through a Facebook page. Like, it was very specific. It was called the Child-Free Women of Fort Leonard Wood. And I thought, this is going to be really weird, or this is going to be really great. You know, I liked the page and I posted, you know, hey, I'm new here. This is the kind of things we like to do. And we met up at a wine cellar a few days later, and it was about 15 girls and four of them stuck with me.
It's like online dating.
Yeah.
It's like Tinder for military spouse friends. So, anyone else like tacos?
Mark and I were part of a group at Fort Lee called the Coffee Collection. And it was the two of us and five or six different girls that were military spouses. And we got together. I first started meeting them through a St. Patrick's Day party that was listed on one of the pages. One of the girls was hosting at her house and she just said, hey, if any of the ladies want to come to my St. Patrick's Day party, come over. And I said, well, is Mr. Army Wife invited? And she said, oh my gosh, yes, come please. So Heather and I both went. So I wasn't just walking in there as this lone guy. So I get what you mean about social media definitely can be a blessing for us. And it's definitely connected spouses in a unique way, because now we meet friends before we ever go to a place. Mark, here's the question that I wanted to ask you. What do you think, and ladies, maybe you can chime in on this too. Mark, what is different about being a male military spouse than being a female military spouse, in your opinion?
When I entered it in 07, I was more involved back then than I am now, like on post with groups. The main thing for me was you're a man in a woman's world. Back then, and I'm sure even today, like when my wife took command, she's like, oh, you want to be our FRG? I'm like, I don't think so, but I'll go to a meeting or two. And you go, and everything there for me was ladies this, ladies that. And I'm like, hi, I'm here. I want to participate. And I went to two meetings and that was it.
Yeah, I think they're very welcoming of male spouses, but they don't quite know what to do with us. You guys are both younger, so you've probably seen more male spouses than some of the other older spouse guests that I've had. But what do you guys think about the male spouses getting involved?
Well, I think I've seen kind of both sides of it as well. I mean, when we were at Fort Stewart, my husband was infantry, and so his whole unit was all male service members. And so the FRG groups, the spouse groups were most all female. And so, now that we're up here at Fort Meade, where we have a huge mix of people, both male and female service members, and that comes along with male and female spouses. And so I've had a lot of opportunities through my job as well to meet male military spouses, but it's still very much the minority. I mean, I think the statistic is 8% of military spouses are male. I've really embraced my relationships with male military spouses, and it's interesting to hear the perspective. And I've heard a lot of the same sentiments that you all brought up in terms of, okay, when there is a formalized group, what do the male spouses want to get out of it? And that's what I always try to keep my ears open to, is what they're trying to get out of the connection of the community. And I think it's mostly everyone has the same common goal of not wanting to be alone and finding commonalities in our lifestyle. So,
Chrissy, you're kind of new to this whole game, so you've probably seen your fair share of male military spouses at events. Does it kind of take you back? Take you, you know, kind of like, wow, why are there a lot of guys hanging out at these events?
I think it's great. I think it's refreshing. I mean, I look forward to that diversity
And I will say, I commend the male spouses that find the confidence to be able to go and participate and be involved in the community, because I can't imagine that being easy, being the only male showing up to an all-female event or trying to get involved and meet other military spouses. And it's like, oh, we're doing hair and nails night. And so I really commend all the male military spouses that take the initiative to get involved and meet other military spouses too.
We don't go to the hair and nail night. That one, I think it's pretty fair to say. I don't have any hair, so I'm not going to that. I will say, Mark, the one thing that we don't see to this day is male spouses congregating together. You don't, if you go to a ball, you'll have large groups of female military spouses that get together and congregate and go to the bar together and stuff like that. You know, you don't really have all of the male spouses coming together at the ball to hang out and those type of things. At that point, we're kind of with our friends. And for me, that's mostly female spouses, I guess.
Yeah. They don't have axe throwing at the balls. So
that would be cool. We should have axe throwing at the next ball. Good idea. Right. I'm writing that down. You guys have any questions for each other about each other's careers or anything that you want to talk to each other about? Good stuff.
Well, I have a question for Mark. As you're getting further, your spouse is getting further in the career, do you see in terms of like the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of retirement and her getting out of the military, what you envision your life to be like post-military and what sort of fears or anxieties come along with that?
Any change, there's fear behind it. There is some level of fear. I'm not scared, but you have to try to think about things that could happen. She could not get a job. She may want to take a year off. That's a little scary to have one income household. We're trying to set up or go over every possible scenario for her last duty assignment, just so we know what could happen. It'll be a change.
Yeah, Heather's at 19 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, for us, we've definitely started talking about what comes next and where are we going to live and how are we going to get there. And the anxiety level some days is through the roof, because we got married and then we joined the Army less than a year later. And so this is all we've known
pretty much
as a couple. And we joined the Army together, and then, you know, I became the spouse and she stayed in. And it's, what do you do after 20 years of living a life that is the way that this one is, the way that the Army life is? So it's a unique experience. And I think Mark hit the nail on the head that you just try and go over every scenario. The Army is full of surprises, but there are a lot of ways that you can, I don't want to say control the trajectory of your lives, but you can nudge them in certain directions that will help you get to where you want to be. And that's, you know, for both of you who are still young in your marriages and young in your careers, just, you know, keep an eye on that. Look at all the options, talk about all the options, and then try and nudge your way into the ones that are going to be best for you guys.
And it has to be best for you guys. It can't be best for just the soldier. It has to be best for both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've started seeing a lot of that now that I have started like a career that I see a trajectory on. Now the conversation isn't just about, okay, this is going to be our next duty station and we don't really have, it's not really up for discussion. Now it's really us trying to look at all the different options, not just for his career, but to help my career as well. And so there are those ways to, you know, kind of like war game the system and try to strategize how to stay in this location, go to this place, but really having that conversation where it's not just about the service member's career, it's about the whole family unit. And so we've been navigating that as well, for sure.
Chrissy, any questions for us, or are you good?
It's sort of like, I'm so new to it. I don't really just have one question, but listening to you guys, it's just really, it's comforting, I guess, because in the beginning it seems like it's nothing but uphill, and you know, you guys are years and years into it and you're just so at ease. And so that's a very comforting thing to hear.
So without even knowing it, we kind of touched on retirement and what comes next. And that leads into our current event or our current news article of the week that we're going to discuss from military.com. It was written by Rebecca Allwine, and it was called New DoD Program Focuses on Military Spouse Financial Readiness. I think that this is something that needs to be discussed more when it comes to not just military spouses, but military families, and not just bi-weekly paychecks on the 1st and 15th of every month, but short-term, long-term financial security that we can achieve in the military. A Blue Star Families Military Family Lifestyle Survey, try and say that five times fast, revealed that 63% of respondents experience stress due to their current financial situation. I'm guessing that respondents have something to do with military families. Mark, you and I have been at this game a long time. We know what's available financially, Rise. What did you think of the article? What do you think of the focus being on military spouse financial readiness?
So my military finance journey started early. So my wife and I were dating for about a year and a half, and I went on active duty, and it was another 6-8 months before I deployed on my first deployment. And we had talked about money prior to me leaving that area. And she was like, I'm not going to marry you if you have any debt. So that was like,
standards.
I'm like, okay. So college, poor choices, growing up into young adulthood, uneducated as far as finances goes. So before I deployed, I went and saw consumer credit counseling. I put everything out on the table. And that's when I found out I had like $50,000 in debt. So I actually used that first deployment. I put every bit of my money into all my bills. I paid everything off. I came home from deployment and we got married. It's important for spouses. I feel it's important for spouses to talk about it. That twice a month paycheck is not a lot, but you can make it work for you. But I think communication is the foundation of that. When we first started out, got married as an E4, she was a butter bar. So it's not like we didn't have money, but we had to make it last the month. The main thing, one, we never bought anything unless it was in our bank account. And then anything that we wanted to buy over $100, we talked about it first, whether it be a text or whatever. If it was over $100, we talked about it. It's really a lot about it is communication and living within your means and not buying anything that you don't already have the money for.
I think experience has a lot of value to it, especially, you know, we weren't the smartest with money before we joined the Army. And there were moments while we were both in the Army where we weren't the smartest with money. And there were moments once I got out of the Army where we haven't been the smartest with money. But like Mark and Kay, we don't have any debt besides a car. We pay off credit cards every month if we use them, you know, those kind of financial things. We put money in savings every month, that kind of stuff. And I really like how the article said that they're going to have this 5-step money readiness program. And the first 2 steps are learning the basics of personal finance and the importance of setting financial goals. Aaron, you guys are about 4 years into your marriage. You both have careers. You don't have children yet, but have you guys set those financial goals? Have you talked about it? Is communication something that you guys have when it comes to your finances?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank goodness my husband is a financial guru and has always been so good with money and all that. Like even as a kid, he would save his money and save it up. Whereas I would be the one as a kid, you know, going to the 7-Eleven and immediately spending that 25 cents I have. So we're kind of opposites in that where he's a saver and I'm a spender, but he really has been able to kind of give me that financial education to learn about setting those financial goals and how the stock market works and how to do investments. And I think that's something that's really lacking in the United States as a whole is financial education within high schools, middle schools, high schools, and sort of setting that foundation there, because I feel like the 63% that the Blue Star Families survey mentioned of families that are concerned have financial stresses, I would not be surprised if that statistic is there for the general civilian population as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, military families, they have at least one stable income. I feel like rather than creating just the solution for, we're going to create these resources for military families, I think it's something worth our government considering. How can we institute these things earlier? And so I was talking to my husband about this article earlier about, you know, it's kind of like giving someone a car and then in a license, but then teaching them how to drive later. It's like giving someone a salary and then you're saying, oh, let me teach you about money now that you have a big pile of money. It doesn't make sense. You should really be having the education on the front end before they get into the career. And so I didn't have that financial education growing up. And so I learned a lot of it from my spouse. And thankfully, he is a guru at it, or else we would both be lost in trying to navigate it together. And we've been lucky enough to be able to hit some of our financial goals. He was able to go to college debt-free, no tuition because of his ROTC scholarship. But I went to a very expensive small private school and had a lot of student loans. And so this year, we actually were able to pay off my student loans way earlier than we thought. And we've really kind of been able to be in that position where we always live off of as if we're just living off of his income, because we never know at what duty station what my income will be like if I'll have a job. And so we've always set the standard of as if that is our income and that is what we're doing our standard of living based off of. And then we use my income to set those loftier financial goals.
Chrissy, have you gotten any education as far as military money matters go? Or does your husband have a pretty good handle on the financial readiness aspect of things? Or do we need to make sure you get this article and this program involved in your life?
Yeah, so it's very similar to her story where my husband went to school for business. So he was, you know, he hit the ground running. He is from the get-go schooling me on saving. It was really funny that this is the article that you chose, because currently I am unemployed. And I mean, I've had a job since I was 15 years old. So this move and going back to school, I just took out a student loan. It's really scary where this article is very much, you know, applicable to me in my life right now. But I will say, thankfully, since I met my husband, he has been so, so smart with the financial aspect of his life. And he's taught me a lot. So, you know, once we were married, you know, we set up our own goals as well, where we had our limits of what to spend without speaking to each other first. And currently we, you know, in the future, we want to buy a house. So we recently set that goal. During the quarantine, one thing that we started doing was building a portfolio for investing. And that was really, really fun learning that together. You know, we'd watch YouTube videos on buying stocks and how to do it and things like that. And it was funny because I came home one day, I think from the store, and I had just stocked up on LaCroix. I love that stuff. He was like, I actually just bought some stock in LaCroix. And so it was just funny that this article is the one you chose, because it seems like for the past 4 weeks, you know, this has really been the subject in our house.
So everybody knows there was the 5-step money ready program for military spouses. Basics of personal finance was number one. Setting financial goals was number two. And then once you master those topics, creating a budget, understanding credit and managing debt, were the other three levels of information. And then savings and, looking forward to retirement is the gist of it all. And I think as military spouses, we have to kind of be aware, because Heather is definitely going to make it to 20, I hope. At this point, she's at 19. So I think we're good to make it to 20. But you guys are young still, and something could come up where you could say, maybe we could take another direction. Maybe we could, you know, look at that so that retirement might look a little bit different, but you still want to be planning for that for right now. Was there anything else in the article that you guys noticed? I love that you said that you guys watched YouTube videos, Chrissy, because the article actually mentions some people love videos, others like checklists or reading blogs or listening to podcasts and all that stuff. There's definitely no shortage of financial information out there for military spouses to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. Mark, where did you learn about a lot of your financial stuff, especially when it came to the Army?
K and unemployment. So I think one of the things that's kept us moving forward, I actually enjoy visiting it once a quarter, is our budget. Minimum once every 6 months, but more likely once a quarter, or anytime there's any type of upcoming change in our financial situation, we revisit it. We go over it together. Sometimes it takes an hour or two, but like, how are we going to reallocate funds to get the maximum saving for our future? Having it on paper to look at. So when something happens, most of the time that was me happening, she would be like, we wrote down right here, you can only have this much money, and you went over that 2 months in a row. So, yep, you have to do what works for you. But I can tell you, writing it down and being able to access that helps me.
Yeah, us too. We do like an Excel sheet that we update. And probably, yeah, every 6 months, once a year. Well, and then at the end of the year as well, and look at, you know, can we change this? Can we update that? What? And then we have our list of financial goals and what we can put money towards.
Chrissy, do you have an Excel spreadsheet as well?
We actually got really big into the Excel spreadsheets when we were planning our wedding last summer. He was so into that and color coding it, and it actually helped so much. We had our, you know, we had our wedding paid off before the day came. It is invaluable.
I feel like technology has been a huge blessing with trying to plan financial futures. I can't imagine doing this in like the 1920s without internet or Excel sheets.
Mark, do you have to tell her, like, if you're going to spend $99 at four different stores buying, I don't know, let's say bourbon, do you have to tell her that you're buying four bottles of bourbon for $400, or can you just say, I'm just going to bring home four $100 bottles of bourbon?
So that would be a $396 purchase? Yeah, that would
be. No, it would be a $99 purchase four times.
Well, it would be two, it would be four separate 99 purchases on two different credit cards, and or maybe three if I could withdraw some money. But yeah, that's so everything gets talked about.
You've already looking for loopholes.
Episode 3, we are on adjectives that begin with the letter C to describe military spouses. We've got some great words for you, and I want to start with Mark. Mark, what is your C word?
Collaborative.
Collaborative. I like it.
I think it applies to more than just being a spouse. It's just getting through life, collaboration, being collaborative. It's working with others toward a common goal. It's reaching out and getting towards the mission. Finding ways to work together to accomplish something. Being a spouse and financial readiness, it's collaborative. Not one person within a marriage can do it alone. It's collaborative. It's not one person's money, yours together money. Whether Steve is raking in the big bucks for all the shows that he's done and the plays, or if it's me making that bonus check when I was doing appliance repair every week or every month, it goes into the same pot. And everything that's being paid out comes out of that pot. So you have to work together to decide where that money's going to go and how it's going to benefit the whole. And I tell you, you throw twins into it, from no kids to twins, and money gets a little tighter. And there's a lot more people in the house to collaborate with. Because I tell you, a three-year-old is an expert negotiator, or we're just really weak as parents. It's collaboration. You have to work together to achieve common goals.
Yeah, I like collaboration as a word, and spouses certainly are collaborative. You made a great emphasis on how we are collaborative with our families, but we're collaborative with other spouses as well. I think that's a big part of it too, whether you're a part of the Spouses Club or the Coffee Collection, as we were, you know, just kind of being there and supporting one another. And Chrissy, I really hope that you meet some great spouses at Fort Stewart so that they can, you know, love on you while your husband's deployed, and you can kind of learn how that looks, and you can love on them too, and be, you know, collaboratively get through what we have all gotten through during these deployments in the past as well. So I really do. I love the word collaborative. I think it's a great word to describe military spouses. Chrissy, let's go with your word next. What do you think a military spouse is?
I chose the word capable. I think that's just by necessity. Even if you weren't in the beginning, that's what you become. There's just so many hats that you end up wearing. I never thought that I would coordinate a move. And that's what ended up happening, you know, from Fort Leonard Wood to here. Like the financial article we just talked about, they could be financial managers. If they didn't know in the beginning, they do become capable. And I think that that's part of being a spouse. You either walk in capable or very soon, you know, this lifestyle makes you capable.
Yeah, I agree. Capable is, I never thought that I would be somebody who would be a stay-at-home husband, who would be capable of cleaning the house once a week and making the bed every day. Certainly was not something I ever looked forward to doing with my life, but now I can't imagine my life in any other situation. I have to wake up on Friday morning and start the laundry. Like, I have to do it. And I'm capable of doing it now. I know the fabric softener goes in these clothes and not in these clothes. And the sheets get the beads so that they smell nice when I put them back on. Those are the things that I understand. I'm capable of doing laundry now. There we go. I love that word as well. Aaron, what about you? You stole my word. I want you to know that.
Well, my word, our word is creative. I feel like it goes nicely with what Chrissy was saying is there's so many obstacles that military spouses face that the average person just doesn't have to experience. And those obstacles, you have to arise to a solution. And those solutions are always creative and thinking out of the box. Military spouses, if they see a problem or an obstacle that they face, they find creative solutions to it. So for example, I mean, if, oh, well, my job doesn't transfer to this place, but I do have the skills to do X, Y, and Z. So I'm going to get creative and change my career path. Or this law doesn't let me do this in this state. I'm going to change the law. We've seen so many military spouses reinvent themselves, but also reinvent their environment just by being creative. And just looking at a lot of the military spouse entrepreneurs who start their own businesses and become their own bosses, like the ladies who started R Riveter, and the creativity behind not just taking the initiative to be your own boss, but putting thought behind it and making it military spouse made, military spouse owned, operated. And so I've just seen so many spouses where I'm like, you do what? Or you've done this and you're doing these things. And it's so incredible. And it all comes out of creativity. No military spouse is reinventing the wheel. They are creating their own wheels and their own path. And so I think all military spouses, whether they see it in themselves or not, are creative.
No, I totally agree. And one thing that I want to give a shout out, I'm going to give a shout out to these ladies, the ladies who started Operation Deploy Your Dress. I don't know if you've heard about that, but that is a great organization on some military installations where basically anybody can go in and get a dress for a ball. Or guys can get suits and stuff too for military balls so that we're not buying different things for every ball, but they're there for us. And then you donate them back and find another dress. And those are just wonderful, creative ways that we are able to save some money and help out spouses that otherwise might not be able to afford a dress to go to the ball. I love those words, collaborative, capable, and creative. Those are amazing. I have a word too that I give every week. So my word is compassionate. Because we've all been in those situations before. And I think that we are good at compassion because we never know what unique situation we're going to be in when it comes to other people and their situations. When we're at home and we live at home, we know the same people. We know what they're going through. We know who they are, what their families are like. But every 2 or 3 years for us, we meet new people with new challenges and with new family dynamics. So we are compassionate when our soldiers are gone. We're compassionate when a loved one passes away. But we're also compassionate toward kids that have issues we never would have known about if we weren't part of the military family. We're compassionate toward people who lose their jobs because they move across the country and don't know how to transfer those skills here. Military spouses are just really good at being compassionate and then being able to sit with others in that compassion and do things to help other people. I think that's a wonderful aspect of this military spouse life.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cool. All right, one last thing we've got to do before we let you guys go, and that is one sentence or just a couple of sentences of advice that you would have to a brand new military spouse. Even you, Chrissy, I know that you've already got some piece of advice that you can give to military spouses across the country. Chrissy, I'll let you go first.
hit the ground running. You know, when you get there, don't expect a community or friends or a job to, you know, fall in your lap. You're really going to have to put yourself out there and just hit the ground running, because if you don't, there will be a longer rut than what there needs to be. You know, if you hit the ground running, that is going to get you where you want to be all the quicker.
I think another balance to that is to relax and always check your perspective. Even if you go after things and you take the initiative to put yourself out there and try to establish yourself, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be times where you fail, where you don't get the job, where a door closes, but everything will work out. And it's all about your perspective. If you see these failures as just a personal failure and get yourself in that rut and start thinking negatively, or, oh, this duty station is bad because X, Y, and Z, it's only going to affect your mental health and yourself personally and your family and the people around you. And so I think just trying to keep a positive perspective on things and seeing what you're getting out of military life versus what military life is teaching. So always keep positive perspective and relax.
Don't be afraid to reach out, get out of your comfort zone, go to the gym between 9 and 11 when those spouses are possibly out working out, find a coffee shop, talk to people, get out, talk to people. I never saw myself as being a male military spouse. I was just going to be, you know, a grumpy old crotchety vet. And I've enjoyed my time as a military spouse. But it wouldn't have happened had I not said, okay, I'll go to so-and-so function, because I never would have met Steve or any of the other people that I've met over the years. Just put yourself out there, say something. You're going to make those connections.
That's it, guys. I want to thank you all for joining me on this journey today and throughout this life. Aaron Wagnon, Mark Kinder, Chrissy Merva, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you all for listening. Remember, if you like the podcast, subscribe to it, share it with your friends, and review it for me so that all the future listeners know how great it is. I'm Mr. Army Wife. My name is Steve. And remember to be the change you hope to see in the world.